Ezekiel. This is from Ezekiel 36. This is just to introduce this song. A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall heed my ordinances and do them. And let us not forget Romans 8:11, which I forget quite often. And if the spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, okay, then he who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore to life your mortal, short-lived, perishable bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Because if you acknowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and in your heart believe, adhere to, trust in, and rely on the truth that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, a person believes, adheres to, trusts in, and relies on Christ, and so is justified, which is declared righteous, acceptable to God. And with the mouth he confesses, declares openly, and speaks out freely his faith and confirms his salvation. See, that's the difference, isn't it? The devil fully believes in Jesus. He knows full well that he is real and that he's alive. And he knows his place. Do we? Do we know his place? Do we know who we are? Do we know who lives inside of us?
But yes, we're going to start in Revelation 1 today. And I don't know how far we're going to get. I know it might get out of verse 1, but it might be a 10-year program. I think it took a year and a half just to do the book of Romans. But I wrote this down just because last Sunday was Resurrection Sunday. And what happens after 50 days after Resurrection Sunday? Pentecost. Yeah, Pentecost. You know what day Pentecost falls on? Not today. May 24th? I think it's 25th. There was the second last Sunday of the month. But that's another great of... You think about when Jesus... What day... So Jesus died and rose again on a Sunday. And the Sunday that he rose was the Feast of First Fruits. The 17th of Nisan. That's the month, that's the day that Jesus rose, and he was the feast. He was the first one to be risen on that day. And he doesn't have a corruptible body. So even for a believer, when we get caught up, the flesh that we have, the corruptible flesh that we have, we will get the incorruptible flesh. New body that we've never sinned, no more pain, no more suffering. And that's the joy that the believer has. No, I'm not even reading notes yet. But we have a blessed hope, knowing that this world will fail and it's falling apart. It's not going to get any better. It's actually going to get worse. So where is your hope in today? Who is your hope in today? Right? As we see how the world is going more and more upside down, and we see how the church actually has the truth and actually has the hope, has everything that people are seeking. And so it's awesome, what a privilege to live in a time and day that we're in, because we do know the hope. We know what happens in the end. We know exactly, because that's why we're going to read the book of Revelation, is just to prepare our hearts to see the time and the day that we live in is it's getting shorter. And do we desire to share that with people who do not know Christ yet? It's not about us. Right? It's not about me. It's about Jesus. And he wants to stir in our hearts a love and a passion for him, to wake us up from our slumbers. Because if you look at the news and you see what's happening, and you see the grossness of pedophilia and all this other garbage coming out, it's like the time of Noah. And so we know in the Mount of Olives, the Olive Discourse, Jesus told his disciples, when you start seeing these things happen more and more, be ready to keep your eyes looking to him. Because we do not know the day or the hour when he's going to appear and we're going to be caught up with him. We don't know that. And I hope that our hearts would be turning to him more so, and how this fresh outpouring of his Spirit in our lives, refreshing us, equipping us, that we'll be obedient to his words, applying his words, wanting to be transformed into the new creation that we are now. Whoever's in Christ, we're a new creation. And do we desire to have a heart for him? So, how do we view the book of Revelation? Some perhaps approach the book of Revelation out of fear. Because I think through our Tuesday studies, what we have been reading hasn't really been pleasant, has it been, guys? Right? It's a little scary. No, hasn't been scary? And so a lot of times people don't want to read the book of Revelation because of misunderstanding. Because they don't know what's really being revealed, and it's scary at times. If you don't know what's being... Why is it that Jesus told John to write this down? Numerous times he said, keep writing this down, John. Write this down. Write this down. He's reminding him. And it's also, you look at the very first three books of Revelation, who's it addressed to? The church. It's addressed to the church. First three books. And so you look at it, how is the church going to respond to Christ right now? How am I going to respond to Jesus today? And so there's three interpretations of Revelation: allegorical, historical, literal, which is futuristic. So when you read the book of Revelation, how do you see it? Because how you see it would actually dictate how you respond to it. Right? If I think allegorically, historical, like it's all been fulfilled after, you know, just after 70 AD, it's been fulfilled, or how do I see it? But I look at it as a literal. It's a futuristic. Things in what's happened as we read it, I see it as through a lens of just literal. It's about a future that has not happened yet. Mind you, the first three, about seven churches, those churches already existed. And those churches, even we see aspects of that happening today, those types of churches already exist throughout the world as a universal church. And so you see, how would you see the church today? And so that's my hope, is that we will start seeing, what church do we fall under? How do I see the Word of God? Have I grown cold to the Word of God? Have I grown cold and callous in my heart towards the Word of God? Do I hunger and thirst for His Word? Do I hunger and thirst to see people coming to the saving salvation of Jesus Christ? So, Revelation is not about head knowledge. It's good to know it, but how am I going to apply it? Is it going to stir my heart? Is it going to give me a heart to know? Because you start reading after Revelation 6, what is awaiting people who do not know Christ? And so when we, as the body of Christ, start to get into those chapters, you're accountable. I'm accountable. Because you know what is coming ahead. That's why Jesus told John to write these things down. He says, write these things down. Write them down so people will be prepared. Prophecy is about preparing the saints, not scaring the saints. And it's also, you know, in John 6:44, God draws people to Himself. He doesn't want anybody to perish. He's calling people to Himself so they would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ before He comes and raptures the church. And we know through Revelation, from chapter 6 onwards, He gives the people who are left behind opportunities to repent and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But I would rather have people come to know Him prior to that. Right? Because I don't want friends and loved ones to go through that. And so how do we see this? And so as we unravel, we dive in. I'm trying to not overcomplicate it. So if something doesn't make sense, I'd rather think of this like a Bible study. If you have a question, put up your hand. I'm putting that out there. Because I think if you have a question, it's better to ask that question rather than to ponder on it. And, right? It's good to ask questions. And so we're going to dive into this wonderful book. It's a blessing. So as we look at this chapter 1 of Revelation, we find that the letter, though penned by John, is not from John. It's a letter from Jesus Christ, the Lord, who is the head of the church. That's who is the head of this church, not the pastor. Jesus is the head of this body. Right? And so, the message that he proclaims, the mystery that he reveals is not which John was conceived with his own mind. So John never conceived this with his own mind or as an overactive imagination. Some of us have overactive imaginations. But which he heard from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord spoke to John and says, write these things down. He heard it right from the source. So he's ordered by Jesus, by the Lord himself, to write down what he saw and what he heard. What we have in our hands, the book of Revelation, has been the most, if not the most, debated book of the Bible. Right? Well, even Daniel. You look at how many people don't want to read the book. How many people have been in a church that never talked on the book of Revelation? Right? How many churches in we know of that don't really talk about the book of Revelation? I know quite a few. One reason is the pastor is too afraid to get into it. And one, he doesn't know much about it. In my mentoring group, there's a lot of pastors in my mentoring group that don't know much about the book of Revelation. So they don't teach it to the congregation. And so in the New Testament, the word revelation means an unveiling or full disclosure. So he's unveiling and is revealing full disclosure of what is hidden in the book. He wants us to know what he's trying to show us and teach us. Nothing is hidden. The Bible interprets the Bible. Do you know that? If you want to know something about the Bible, what's the best place to go to get interpretation from? Yeah, right? The Bible interprets the Bible. You know what happens when man tries to interpret what the Bible says? Confusion. Become religious, become all this other garbage. It puts a lot of things on people, which is not truly what the Bible says. There's freedom when you read the Bible. Right? When you read the Bible, you should be like refreshed. You should be like overflowing with joy. There should be this hunger and stirring in your heart to want to know more of it and to understand it. It's like, have you ever gone to like chocolate fondue? Hey, have you ever been to a chocolate fondue place? I know our kids in Camrose last year, there was a chocolate fountain, and they stood at the chocolate fountain with the strawberries on a stick and whatever else, and just sat there and ate it, which is not right to do. And because they couldn't get it, they couldn't get satisfied. They loved it so much. I hope the Word of God would be that way, that we're in it all the time. Such tastiness. And it's like sweet, it's like honey to our lips. So, the study of the Bible prophecy should influence us and to consider our own salvation. When we read the Bible, do we know that are we fully saved? Do we know that we're saved? And how do you know that you're saved? Is it by saying a prayer? Or is it by putting your faith and trust in Christ alone? A prayer doesn't save you. Jesus saves you. Proof in the pudding that you're saved is your life is transformed. That you're different than how you once were. That you're being changed day in and day out. You're putting off things that are contrary to the Word of God. As you read the Word of God is convicting us of things or drawing us closer to Him. That's what the Word of God draws us closer to Him, not further away from Him. So as you are hungering for Him, that's how I know that I'm saved, because I want to know more of Him. Right? I want to know more of Him. I truly want to walk with Him, and I see how He's transforming my heart. The study of the Bible prophecy should influence us to be calm when our hearts want to be stirred up. Are your hearts stirred up today out of fear of what's happening in this world? Or are you walking in calmness? Right? Sometimes we're not. The Lord gives us prophecy. He tells us what's going to happen so that we will stay calm, collective, not overreacting, not to freak out. But he's like, I'm going to walk with you through this, and I'm going to help you through this. And no matter what's happening around the world, I am still God. I know what's going to happen. I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the Alpha and Omega. I know exactly what's going to happen. Nothing takes me by surprise. That's what the Lord says. So if we have our hope and faith and trust in him, we should stay calm. But sometimes our flesh doesn't stay calm, does it? Depends. So to understand the Bible prophecy, we should be confirming. It should have a comforting influence on grief-stricken hearts. So, do I have a compassion of those who are grief-stricken, who do not know the Lord? Do I have a passion for the unsaved? Do I have a passion to share the truth of the gospel? So as we get into the book of Revelation, it's not about head knowledge. It's about, like, I know what's going to happen because this is what it says is going to happen. Is my heart turning more to share the truth of the gospel? Is it inspiring me to share the truth of the gospel to those who I know will go through this? Because if I don't really love somebody, I won't tell them anything about what's going to happen after chapter 6. Right? If I didn't love you, would I tell you anything about after Revelation 6? Because I know that's what's going to happen. And we know what? As believers, we will give an account to the Lord Jesus for not sharing the gospel. I'd rather share it out of love and compassion. To say, you don't have to go through this. The answer is Christ and Christ alone. We saw that today. That your heart, you could be saved and walk in this new journey in this world with the Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. You don't have to go through this. Jesus takes us, the church, out of the wrath. Right after Revelation 6 and onwards, it's about the wrath of God. His judgment onto a sinful, fallen, debauchery world. He doesn't put wrath upon his children. He doesn't do that. He takes you out of it. And so this is the blessing that we hope. We know that we are saved from his wrath. Because Christ, we celebrated last Sunday, Christ, all the wrath of God that was supposed to be on to the believer, Christ took it upon the cross. That's why we should be celebrating. Is saying, Lord, I thank you today that you took all my wrath, you took all the everything that was owed to me, you took that upon that cross. You died for me. Even though I did not deserve it, you died for me. You took it. Now you have reconciled me back to the Father, that I am blameless before the Father because of Christ. And that's the joy that we have. And as we share that with other people, the question is, do I believe it? Do I truly believe that God died for me and took away the wrath that I am owed? That's the question. Do I truly believe that? It's one thing of hearing me, but is how is it resonating in your heart? Do you truly know that you're saved? Do you truly know what Jesus did on the cross and what he accomplished is true, without a shadow of a doubt? so then our hearts for the lost should be increasing. The study of the Bible, Bible prophecy should influence us to be diligent doing the Lord's work until he returns or calls us home. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, and he presented the truth about the coming of Christ to his people. He says, therefore, my brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. We are called to be doing the Lord's work. We all have different callings. We all are called to share the truth of the gospel. The Lord desires that our knowledge of the Bible prophecy would cause us to devote ourselves serving those around us as we wait for his return, his coming. So we're doing what he's called us to do. So we're going to read Revelation 1:1-8. And so the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, I would underline servants, his servants. So we know this right now, Jesus is telling John to write this down because he wants him to show his servants. That's us. You're his servant. If you're a child of God, you've surrendered your life to Christ, you are his servant. Sometimes we don't like the word servant, because I got to serve somebody? That's degrading. In my Amplified Bible, it says bondservant. A bondservant is somebody who fully, wholeheartedly gave their life to their master. So, you know what? I want to give you my life. I want to serve you, because nothing better than serving you, because you treat me so well. You look after my family. You do everything for me. And out of my love and admiration for you, I want to be your servant. And so in biblical times, they would take a thing at the door, at the gate. And if I want to be a bondservant to my master, he would put this little piece of bone through my ear to represent I'm a bondservant. I am bought and paid for in full by that guy. I'm giving my life. My whole family is now his. So we are his. Everything, so the things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. John saw. He blessed is he who reads. So I'll be blessed today because I'm reading it. And those who hear the word. So you guys are going to be blessed by hearing the word. That's what the scripture says. I'm only reading what the Bible says. So you guys will be blessed. I will be blessed. And keep those and hear the words of this prophecy. And keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. So keep those things. It's not to purge it, to flush it. It's just to keep it in our hearts, in our minds, be meditating on the word of God. Blessed is he, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, which is made Asia Minor, which is Turkey. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. Jesus, we just celebrated that on Sunday, last Sunday, first fruits. And the ruler over the kingdom, over the kings of this earth. Who's the ruler of the kings on this earth? To him who loved us and washed us from our sins with his own blood. That's what Christ did for us last Sunday, last Friday. He has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Mighty. His servants. Verse 1, it says, is applied metaphorically to someone who absolutely devoted themselves to Christ. Have we devoted ourselves to the leading or the lordship of Jesus Christ? Everybody's quiet. Hopefully I didn't say something to offend you. If I offended you, I apologize beforehand. This is what a servant is. Somebody who's devoted to Christ. He is our Lord. He's our allegiance, and our allegiance is due to him alone. As a servant of Christ, we renounce every other master. In Matthew 6:24, this is what Matthew 6:24. So if we give up, if I said I have allegiance to Christ, he says you cannot serve no other master. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve two masters as a child of God. To be devoted to Christ, say, Lord, I don't want to serve any other person. I don't want to serve anything else. I want to serve you because of who you are and because of what you have done, what you have accomplished, what you're still doing in my life. I want to serve you because you set me free from so many bondages of brokenness, heartaches, and all this other stuff. But you have set me free. I want to serve you wholeheartedly because how you've done that and how you're changing my heart to become more like Christ every day. And that's why I want to serve the Lord, because what he has done in my life, what he's still doing in my life, and how he's changing my attitudes and my demeanor, how I behave, he's changing that as I surrender to him. That's what it means to be a servant, to become more like Jesus Christ. He takes you as you are, but he changes you and transforms you as we surrender more and more to him. And so, and we give ourselves totally to him. Lord, I want to give you everything of me. Sometimes we fight about that, don't we? I don't want to give everything to the Lord because I kind of like what I'm doing. But there's freedom. There's actual freedom. And your life changes. And you actually see how when you surrender more to the Lord, how much that is a blessing. And so as we read Matthew 16:24, it says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus says, lay it down. Take up this cross and follow me. When we follow Christ, we'll find that there's nothing better than him. He satisfies us. He's the bread of life. He's the one that gives us Do you know before Christ? You probably remember, some of us, before Christ, you're like, this thing really satisfies me. And then you get that, you're like, oh, it doesn't really satisfy me. It's emptiness. It's worldly things. Worldly things bring emptiness. Only in Christ brings satisfaction. And only in Christ fulfills us. In Christ. I know when I'm walking away from the Lord, when I get dissatisfied with him. And as soon as I start walking with him, he satisfies me. And I don't want anything else but him. That's how I know, am I staying on that narrow path? And so I was listening to John Piper the other day. He asked this question. Am I satisfied in the Lord? He had this question. He asks this guy. He says, "Do I feast on the word of God? Am I in the Bible daily? Do I feast on the word of God? Not just for head knowledge, but am I allowing to actually start to know more of my Lord? Do I really desire him? Because if you're not a child of God, you would not want to read the word of God." Do I want to be a child of God? Yes. Why then don't I read the Word of God? If I want to be transformed, should I not be in the Word of God to know my Lord, the Savior? I mean, if you meditate on one verse per day, and you're like, Lord, show me. I want to hunger and to understand what you're trying to show me. That is better and brings more value to your life and your walk with the Lord if you just meditate on one verse per day. It feeds you. It transforms your mind. It gives you a heart for the Lord. That's my challenge. It's like, read one verse per day. Spend time in prayer. Talking to him. Listening to him. And so, then John Piper says this. I like this one. He says, God is most glorified in us when we are the most satisfied in him. Are we satisfied in him as a servant of Christ? Am I satisfied in my Lord? And it's not about doing things. It's like spending time with him, reading his word, allowing his word to soak in and chew on it and meditate on it. The word of God it's supposed to be, when you meditate, I'm not talking about new age stuff. It's new age stuff that says empty your mind, right? When the word of God says meditate on his word, we are filling our minds with the word of God. To replace wrongful thinking and wrongful attitudes. Because the Word of God transforms our minds. It quickens us. It renews us. It gives us hope. It gives us compassion. It changes our hearts. Because our hearts get very callous in this world. Because we see what's happening in this world, our hearts can become very callous. The Word of God actually makes our hearts softer. Because it's taking was the hardness softening us. And so do you have John 14:23 there? Jesus said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Sometimes we don't keep his word. It's like, Lord, forgive me for not keeping your word. This is what it means to be a disciple. Like, I was like, start reading Revelation 1 and then Disciple. I was like, oh my goodness, how far can I go down this rabbit trail? Because it's important to know that if I wanted to be a disciple of Christ, become a disciple of Christ, it means I want to be like Jesus. I don't want to be me any longer. I want to become more like my Savior. I want to put off the things that are take me away from my Lord. So he says, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And as more and more we fall in love with him, more and more we keep his word. And my Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. It means he's going to live within you. The Holy Spirit lives within every child of God. Seals that person. Says, you know what? Point, a little stamp of approval. You're mine now. And he lives within you to bring to memory verses of scripture, memories of who he is, and a drawing closer to him. Oh, see, I didn't even get out of one. So we got 27 more hours to go. So yeah, let's just. Is it making sense? So we're at this chocolate fountain. But I truly want us to realize that we are saved by grace. Saved by grace. And the Lord knows exactly where you're at with him today. And he wants your heart. Even if we say, Lord, forgive me. I know at times I haven't read your word for a week. The Lord changed that in my heart. Like, Lord, help me as when I pick up your word, that it would be this such amazing meal that I want to savor. The best steak in house. The best thing that you ever ate, you'll find that in the Word of God. And that it would cause you to hunger and thirst and want to know more of Him. So it will not be any dryness. There will be rivers are flowing, fresh water flowing. And that you will see him more open with clearer eyes. And your eyes will be open more to the truth. Because it's not just about coming to church on Sunday. Coming to church on Sunday does not save you. Church attendance doesn't. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And to know Christ. And to say, Lord, I want to surrender to you. That I want to follow you. I give up, I surrender, I repent of any other false gods that I'm following or that I'm trying to lead me. And I want to serve you wholeheartedly. And as he changes your heart, you'll see that. There'll be a difference. Right? And as we walk through this next length of time through the book of Revelation, we might get past chapter verse 2 next time. But I think on Tuesday, I think we're doing Revelation 15. This Tuesday. And I think as we share with the boys the week before, about apologetics. I want us to be able to give a proper answer to why I believe the Bible is true. And if we are, that's my heart, I want us to be able to give a proper defense of why I believe. Not just because of what somebody has said, because I've had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. That he's transformed my life, and he's quickening me and drawing me closer to him. I think about how given the proper defense to why I believe the Bible is true, the shadow of a doubt. And I think about, because I took that serious from last two Tuesdays ago. Because I asked the group, the youth group, I said, what happens if I brought in a speaker? Would you attend? Apologetics. They said they would. So I'm going to hold them to them. And anybody else in the congregation. And it's open to everybody. It's free. Who doesn't like a free thing? There's a free lunch. And so mark on the calendar. June 14th at 7 p.m. It's a Sunday evening. So I asked the boys. I think Bella was there too. And one lady said, would Sunday, 7 p.m. work the best for you? Yes. Okay. So it's an hour and a half. And so it's about, and it's also a Q&A session as well. And so he's going to give a scientific and biblical defense of creation. And also there's a Q&A session after. So you could ask him any wonky, weird question that you have, and he will answer it. Yes. It is Matt Bongi. He's from Creation Ministry. So invite your friends. Put June 14th on your calendar, 7 p.m. at the church. And so it's like an hour and a half. On a Sunday night, and I really want, because even after reading articles, how many people walk away from the faith, especially kids who graduate from high school, roll back there, here they roll up there, third row, second row in. If we're better equipped and that we know how to answer questions and to even know what the Word of God says, we're more unlikely to walk away from the faith. And so that's why my heart, well, through the book of Revelation, it's not me just saying things. That's why I'm asking you guys, when I'm speaking or saying something, I want people to have that freedom to say that I don't understand this. I might not have the answer right away, but I will get to it. There's freedom being in this place. I want like a Bible study that people will actually grow. Not all of us, none of us know it all. I probably know the least. I don't know much. But what I do know is I'm wanting to share that with people. So we're all better equipped. And have this heart for the Lord more and more every day. Like myself, I want to have more of a heart for the Lord. So, Lord, as that, as we want to be your servants, and as much as we desire to lay down whatever it is that you are speaking to us about, Lord, I pray that you would reveal that, and Lord, that we would repent, allowing to have something else higher than you in our own lives. Lord, we want to have you the highest place in our lives. You deserve all the glory and all the praise. And so, Lord, help us to desire you more and more each day, to feast on your word, to feast on just whatever scripture you put in our heart each day, that we would meditate on that throughout the week, or even, Lord, that every even one scripture a week. Lord, help us to meditate on it and be satisfied in you alone. We thank you, Lord, that you're preparing us for the time that we live in. Thank you, Lord, that you are stirring us to desire more of you. I thank you, Lord, for your drawing us closer to you. And Lord, I pray for your protection over everyone here today. I pray, Father, that you would put your hedge of protection over each one as we walk in obedience to your word. And Lord, I thank you for the work you're doing in this congregation and to our lives. I pray a blessing, Lord, even over those who aren't able to be here today. Lord, we pray that you would have that freedom throughout the week in our lives, in our homes, in our workplaces to use us. And Lord, help us to share the truth of the gospel without any fear or even fear of man. But Lord, help us to have a normal conversation with people. And Lord, as we pick up the offering, Lord, we thank you for how you provide everything. And you are the one, the greatest source of all. And Lord, we want to give back to you. I'm grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. I think I do have, you pick the offering. I do have the timelines. I did a book. If anybody wants to, I think I handed it to everybody, right? Of timelines and also what the book of Revelation is. So if you want one, I think I have a few more. And see you guys Tuesday if you come. There's usually cookies.